Welcome to The Brains Behind It, the official podcast of BrainHackers.com. The source for smart strategies to improve your life, one brain hack at a time. In this podcast, we talk to the leaders and innovators behind great organizations and find out the secret to their success. Here's your host, editor-in-chief of BrainHackers.com, and two-time Guinness record holder for memory, Dave Farrow.
Hey there, Brain Hackers. Dave Farrow here. I got a really cool Brains Behind It. We're going to talk about motivation. What gets you off your ass and moving? I'm going to talk to Jason Barger right after this. He's a multiple author, speaker, motivational trainer. We're going to ask him all of his secrets. Hey, Jason, welcome to the show.
Glad to be here.
All right. So right away, give us your top motivational tips that no one else is talking about.
Get up out of bed and do something. That's one of the first things I say. You know, motivation, we think it's, once you're motivated forever. Of course, we know that's not the case. You know, you got to eat daily because your body needs it. You got to take a bath daily because, you know, we get dirty.
So there's peaks and valleys in your motivation.
Yeah, absolutely. There's peaks and valleys. And every single one of us, no matter what it is you do or what's important to you in your life, we got to get up and remember why are we doing what we're doing and what is the next step we got to take.
Well, what if you have, you're stuck with like depression or strong emotions, you just had a breakup or something like that, and you're just stuck and you just can't, you know, you should be doing something. I used to struggle with that in my 20s. You know, you should be doing things and you just can't get yourself motivated to do it. What's your suggestion?
Yeah. Well, first of all, if you have depression, see a professional, A. Yeah, we all get stuck in those dark times or those times of inactivity or we're starting a project or task that just seems overwhelming. The first thing is we got to break it down into bite-sized pieces. And oftentimes, you know, people get so overwhelmed, they think they have to go from point A to Z all in one jump. You got to boil it down and say, what does A to B look like? And can you identify the first step that you got to do?
You know, actually, that's very similar to a technique that I teach students as well on focus, how I got my Guinness record, where basically instead of this whole thing you have to memorize, or this whole curriculum that you have to do, or this whole homework assignment, you break it down into these tiny chunks. And then before you know it, you're breezing through these things and really mastering the tasks.
No, absolutely. And in the day and age that we live in today, the Harvard Business Review, they had a study not too long ago that said we as humans are distracted, meaning we shift our focus and our attention anywhere between 300 to 500 times in an average day on the job. So we're all distracted. And so we have to find that kind of focus and see what's the next thing I got to do. What's the highest priority next?
Well, when I was a kid, I had ADD. So as an ADD kid, I got to say 300 sounds like a goal to be only distracted that much in a day.
Absolutely.
But I'll tell you though, that with training of brain training, you can do something about it. What other things in terms of things like habits and goals would you suggest for motivation? Getting to that next level.
Yeah. Well, first things is you have to have a goal. You know, so he or she who aims at nothing hits it every time, right? So,
what about people who are having difficulty figuring out their goals? You know, they don't know what they want.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I think it starts with stepping back, which a lot of the ethic of the kind of work that I do with individual leaders, but entire teams and companies, is this idea of we have to step back. We have to create space in our own lives and also with the work that we're doing to see it from a different perspective and to get clear on those things. Why are we even doing it? Where is it that we're trying to actually go? And to live in that space till we can identify it and then be able to say, okay, well then what's that first step that has to get done?
What does the power of why come into this? You know, for me, motivation is all about why am I doing something? I'll be honest, I struggled with nihilism. Like, what's the freaking point of doing
all
this? You know, anybody, if you know anything about some of my accomplishments, guys, to get to this point, you have to do a lot of work. And there's points where you wonder, is this really worth it? And that why pulls me through sometimes. Other times I'd struggle with it. So how would you talk to somebody who struggles with that reason?
Well, I would say, first of all, I would echo what you're saying. And I would say that I don't know if there's a greater question that we ask in our lives than why. Mm-hmm. Why is it that we're doing this? And I know it's similar to you. I know that I, even if there's things that I might be good at, jobs that I might be good at, if I can't find the why and I'm not compelled and motivated intrinsically, that I see a compelling reason for something, then I know it won't ultimately be sustainable. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, but it's also not easy, you know? So for somebody who's on that journey, they, to be able to take the time to understand, well, even if they say, hey, I want to have my own business, I want to make a certain amount of money, I want to have the autonomy to live, you know, to work a certain number of hours or be mm-hmm. close to my kids or whatever that may be, to really be peeling back the onion on that and asking the question of, is that truly why you want to do it?
Mm-hmm.
And to make sure you get clear on that.
Yeah, I find that the big question of what's the meaning in life ultimately comes down to what is the meaning in your life. You know, I've studied all the major philosophies. I was a Buddhist for many years, a Jainist, all sorts of things, the Taoist, all theists. But it was all searching for what's the meaning of life, you know. You know, the interesting thing is I found that, you know, everybody has different meanings, but I think a big part of it is what is the meaning in your life, you know?
And, for sure.
And what I was really looking for was what is going to get me out of bed? What is worth my time? What is energizing me, you know? And you're right. Sometimes it is just looking at my 4-year-old son and playing with him and making sure he's well fed and taken care of and things like that. And that's not the overall meaning of life and God and the universe and everything, but man, it gets me out of bed. You know?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And to also know that you are the only one that can be the ambassador for your life.
Mm.
And so nobody else, it's not anyone else's job to be the ambassador for the life that you want to create. And which means we all have to take ownership of that. And part of that, it doesn't mean that our vision is going to be crystal clear, but we all then need to do the work of saying, well, what is the vision for our life? And for your life, my life, I have to be the one to look myself in the mirror and say, is this the life that I'm truly wanting to create? And if it's not, then I need to change what it is that I'm doing.
Yeah.
And it has to start now and it has to start tomorrow.
All right. So another thing that you speak on a lot, and you do corporate training and everything for a lot of different companies and things like that, is proactive people and creating inspired teams and kind of, you know, getting from that personal motivation to that leadership style.
That's right.
What would you say if you have a team and you want to motivate them, what would you say is the most important thing? And by the way, I put in team, even if you have like every person who's tried to achieve success, I've found that I meet a lot of them, especially on the internet, who, you know, maybe they've got a minimum wage job or something, but they've got their eye on something bigger. They want to, you know, run their own business or something. And they ask me advice and I engage them and everything. And I love doing that. You know, so in those cases, they get a lot of resistance from friends of theirs. They get a lot of people, a lot of haters right out of the gate. In fact, it's easier to hate when you haven't accomplished anything. It's much tougher to hate somebody who's actually done something.
That's right.
So I'm kind of including that in the same sort of team dynamic. If you can help people in that situation or even in the office situation where they have a team, what's the best motivation strategy or way to overcome that?
Yeah, well, so what you're describing, and by the way, I define that as well, is that, yes, I do a lot of work in corporate settings or on team settings, literally mm-hmm. within an organization. But team could be, you could be thinking about that as your family. A team could be a group of friends that you all are talking through a certain, you know, project or dream that you mm-hmm. may have. And so think about that loosely. But with any group of people, the single biggest problem with communication is the illusion it's taken place. And so what I find most specifically with any group of people is oftentimes we haven't communicated well enough with each other. And so it's not clear what the vision even is. So the first thing is we got to get clear on what is the vision for where we're trying to go and why we're trying to go there.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can begin to build the path of how we're going to go to do the work to do there. My most recent book is called Thermostat Cultures and is about how do we proactively build that kind of culture. And I lay out that any change that we lead at either individually or as a team follows what I call the 6A process for leading change. And I go through it in the book, but it all starts with, can, you know, do we have a clear vision for where we're going and mm-hmm. can we assess it where are we currently on the map? Do we align and make sure the communication is clear? Mm-hmm. Can we aspire, which means can we paint the vision for where we're going to go? Yeah. Can we articulate it to each other so we're all on the same page? Then do we tie it up with actions? So what now are we going to go to move closer towards that vision? Mm-hmm. And then lastly, what are the habits that we're going to form over time that will anchor that so that it becomes the culture we're trying to create?
Yeah, no, I think that sort of process is really good. It's also just really important to have a process, even if it's yours or someone else's. So I want to switch gears near the last 5 minutes here. I want to ask you, there's a lot of people who, like you and I, want to be like you and I and an info marketer. You have a topic, you're either speaking on it, you're selling your information, you're an expert in that area. And you've done a lot of corporate gigs. You do talks and work for corporations, and a lot of people are curious, hey, how do I get that paycheck from, you know, Dell or Microsoft or whatever, you know?
Yeah, right.
So talk to me a little bit about the marketing process and how you go from being completely unknown to being, you know, a thought leader, expert in your field, and market that and actually make it pay. There's a lot of experts I know that aren't making any money off it, you know? So
yeah, absolutely. No, I'm fortunate I do a lot of keynote speeches at conferences and for companies and all that kind of thing. And then certainly work with teams and organizations over a longer period of time with that proactive building of their team or their leadership. And the first thing I would say is that it starts with authenticity. And a lot of places, I think the people that I see that maybe fail in this department is because they think it's more about just pushing an image rather than pushing an authentic image. And
that's tough to hear because I'm a PR guy. We talk about image all the time and how a company looks, but I get what you're saying, that the people who are being fake in this industry are just not going to succeed.
Yeah, that's right. And I boil it down again, if you want to go back down to A to B, is that whatever the first speech you get to do, which if somebody out there has an aspiration to be a keynote speaker on that big stage, much like I'm lucky to get to do, it starts with on much smaller stages and being willing to put yourself out there and to be willing to go do it for a little or no money to begin, but because you believe you have an authentic story to tell. Mm-hmm. And the way that you'll know whether it's an authentic story to tell is whether people ask you to come back or it spreads. Because simply put, the best marketing that has ever been done with anything I've ever done is go do a great job and let people talk. Mm-hmm. And if it resonates and it truly engages their mind and their heart the way that I intend it to, then they'll tell somebody about it and then opportunities will show up.
Well, I'd also say in addition to that there's a lot of people who are being what you and I might call fake and not knowing that they're fake. Like they're authentic people, but they think they have to put on a certain act. You know, they think they have to be Tony Robbins or Brian Tracy or something like that. And they don't realize that what they have to be is themselves, a version of themselves, I should say, that is providing real value, you know? So that has to, when you talk about authenticity, it means, you know, like this has to affect the bottom line. This has to affect actual sales or actual personnel. It actually has to affect the actual people, the firing process, to actually move a number of something, you know, it has to like increase diversity, increase wellness, increase leadership, increase sales, whatever it is, you have to have a number and your talk moves that number. And I think people don't think of that. They're spending so much time on, you know, oh, this will be my brand or this will be my hook, but they're not talking about, you know, what actually gets paid.
That's right. In the end of the day, if it does not add value and it isn't a contribution to that group, then that will be your answer. And so, you know, eventually, hopefully you get a second chance and a third chance and you begin to hone. And a lot of that also begins with when somebody, if somebody out there again is aspiring to do this, is when a group or a company comes to you and is asking you to do it, it's now your job to understand what is the value in the contribution that they are seeking. What is it that, not just do they like you? Do they think you're a nice person? Do you have a good message? That they're looking for some kind of shtick or entertainment. Mm-hmm. but what is the value and the contribution that they're hoping to accomplish with their people? And now your job is to help deliver on that.
Yeah, I'll back you up on that, absolutely, because there's a lot of times where we want to sell something. But if you're really, really successful, you talk to anybody who's you know, made the six or seven figures, you know, in a business, you know, it doesn't turn into a conversation of what I want to sell. It turns into a conversation of what do people want to buy, you know,
and
what are they valuing? So, yeah, I've done this.
And authentically, how can you serve? The way I think about it is, how can I serve this group of people?
Mm-hmm. I'll give you a great example. I was doing sales talks on memory, and I thought, oh, everybody wants to be superhuman. So I'm like, you know, unlocking the secrets of the mind. And I was all like, that sort of thing and everything. And they kept on coming back to me and says, no, just help us with names and faces. Just help us. So I realized what they wanted was a fun, interactive talk that was, I want to say, team building.
Yeah.
And everybody in the room is better at names and faces at the end. Once I did that, it was like, yes, here's your $10,000 speaking fee, sir. Like it was just so easy, you know?
That's right.
And I was selling something that people didn't want to buy. They wanted to buy a part of it. So I just made that the part. At least that's the corporate thing. Obviously I go to school, it's different.
Yeah.
But that's the kind of value you're talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, what I hear you saying in that is that you stopped and you, instead of giving them what you think you want them to hear, you stepped back and you said, well, what is the problem we're trying to solve?
Mm-hmm.
And you asked the question, how can I serve this group of people? And really what they're wanting is, the reality is they're not all going to become you.
Mm-hmm.
But what they do is they want some little life hacks or brain mm-hmm. hacks so that they can be more effective by remembering names and faces. Mm-hmm. So if that's, you know, once again, he or she who aims at nothing hits it every time. If we get clear on that's what we're aiming at, then you're able to deliver in a way that says, okay, now I'm going to engage the minds and hearts of these people to accomplish what's going to serve them and not just what I want to do.
Absolutely. And it becomes more selfless. It's actually a better way to run your business and your life. Absolutely.
Yeah. I say to people all the time, by the way, that, you know, people say that you're out there selling yourself. I say, well, yeah, I mean, I guess technically you can say, yes, I'm selling myself, but really I don't ever think about it that way.
Mm.
Is the way I think about it is I'm not selling anything. I'm sharing authentic messages that add value to people's lives, and it'll find its way.
Mm-hmm.
That's
right. I don't think I could have said it any better. I think that's fantastic. Well, thank you very much, Jason Barger, for being on the show. You're definitely a brains behind it.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to The Brains Behind It. And remember to check out brainhackers.com for more. If you have a suggestion for the next interview or comment, please email editor@brainhackers.com. If you want a free 30-minute marketing consultation from Dave Farrow and his team, then email editor@brainhackers.com.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.